position number 13042, room 5.
Mr. Sobolevsky, room 5.
As I mentioned before, we built the monument in Piedmont dedicated to those who gave their lives in the action of Piedmont, and the Council of Piedmont helped us quite a lot. Now, Piedmont at this moment is a beautiful town with big industry, is Fiat factories, and they produce down there those Panda, Fiat Panda. So I believe that there is around about 10,000 men is working down there. But problem, they got that quite new people came to work. And I'm sorry to say that, but they were most from the north, and they were the left wingers.
So what's happened to your monument?
No, monument is down there. Only, if I may say that, the funny thing, the biggest, or rather the richest person in the town got left sympathies.
So after the breakthrough at the Hitler line, what happened to you and your unit then?
Anyway, our unit, 6th Luftwaffe Armored Regiment, was just moved in the region of Chorlano for about 10 days rest. And after that, we went into Adriatic campaign. So we started from Ortona Lanciano is on the Adriatic coast, right through to Rimini. All that distance, that is what, around about 300 kilometers.
So you were now on the east side of Italy?
On the east side all the time, until we came to Rimini, when I don't remember which one, but it was Canadian division just changed us, and we went for a rest in, it was autumn already. Then,
could your armored unit be usefully used under the conditions of broken Italian terrain? I would have thought that the hilly terrain would have made it difficult to deploy an armored regiment.
Oh no, down there it was just ideal, because it was not hilly, it was just
undulated.
Undulated. So you see, you could see from one point, you could see, for example, up to 15 kilometers. So that was all right. But later on, when just before the Battle of Rimini actually started, we were moved into central Italy, more or less into Apennines, is near Florence. That was very difficult. You see, the autumn 1944 was very rainy and very difficult terrain. And you see, just a few actions, but they were not successful. We had tremendous losses down there in Apennines, because terrain was not suitable for tanks. Unfortunately, we had to go because we had no many infantrymen. So we suffered casualties down there. And then we shall move for just for the rest of the winter in region of Brisighella, Faenza. Down here, it was eastern part of the Italian sector. Faenza, Forli. So down there, I was actually staying in the first line with my platoon until, I think it was end of March or beginning of April, when everything was already preparing for the last action at Bologna. So she were withdrew. I was changed by our cavalry unit. I was changed, went about 5 miles to the rear for regrouping and just to attend to the equipment, to the tanks. And in 5 days, off we go to Bologna.
What was the campaign at Bologna like?
Bologna, that was, you see, we were prepared for different campaign. We were actually prepared that it will be soft terrain. And they, during those 5 days, there was order to extend by screwing our tracks. You follow? So if it is soft terrain, it doesn't sink. And now you see, terrain wasn't sinking. And it was on engines. It was very difficult to run all that. So believe me, in action, I have to stop with tanks and just pull it by a rope, pulling all those extensions. You see, there was no time to unscrew. Just pull it. But the worst battle which I have seen, it was the last mile. You see, it was just outside, you may say, gates of Bologna. There was a canal called Medicina. And on the sector about a mile wide, there were 600 German killed. You see, they were from the paratroopers, German paratroopers, they wouldn't surrender. They were fighting to the end. It was, we had just new units came, our commando battalion. And we were attached to every platoon, the armored platoon, we had the small unit of those commando. And I saw them killing, German killed three of them over the, it was bank on the canal. It's just like across that table, shot them. It was a really massacre. And I went through all that campaign, but I never saw so many people killed as there. You see, on the other hand, they were desperate. They were desperate. You see, chaplain came with a huge red cross. He was going to the wounded. And they, sniper, killed the chaplain, our chaplain as well. It was massacre. And that was the last resistance they actually...
Can you understand such strong resistance when they must have known that the war was hopeless?
You see, I had in my tank, I had the gunner. He was soldier in German army before. So he was speaking fluently German. And came German soldier with his hands up. So I asked him, I said, look, just ask him, what they fighting for? They know it's lost. And he said, I'm not fighting for Reich, I'm fighting for the honor. That was the attitude. And you see, I remember distinctly those words. He's fighting for honor. I got nothing against that. I understand the soldier.
Whilst you were fighting in the Italian campaign, did you have very much close contact with Allied forces of other nationalities?
Oh, you see, as far as the Allied, I was, as a matter of fact, I was the when Canadian division was coming at Rimini, I was sent as the liaison officer to the Canadian troops because they were on the left flank. You see, oh, we were all. Believe me, all we told troops on this side, there was very friendly, or I used to say, brotherhood with them. We told all troops on this side. I'll tell you something. Quite a few people say about the Jewish antisemitism and all that. You see, Jewish brigade was under Polish command. It was on the right flank of our regiment. And probably there were some even Jews who left our troops in Palestine when we were in Palestine. They decided to stay in Palestine. So they were down there. You see, in that Jewish brigade, there was Polish language, quite popular because there were quite a lot of them came from Poland. And they were treated us with respect as soldiers, and we treated them the same way. So,
I know there were quite a lot of unusual nationalities on the Allied side.
No, not so much on the Allied. You see, what happened? We met near Rimini. You see, we pick up on our receivers the Ukrainian speaking. Now, there were some Ukrainian units in Italy on the other side. But whether they were armed or just labor is rather difficult to say because I didn't see them. But we picked up them on our radio. So they were down there. There were some Russians as well. But what they were doing, I couldn't say because I didn't see them actually.
But I mean, on the Allied side, there were even Brazilians.
Oh, yes, there were
Brazilians, Moroccans.
Brazilian, no, you see. Brazilian, I have seen Brazilian in Egypt, in Cairo. Now, there were Greeks. You see, what happened? When we were putting our equipment, our tanks, in Alexandria, that was, as I told you, it was Thursday before Easter, and the Greek brigade refused to go to Italy. They were actually in Alexandria guarding the munition dump. And they, whoever, there were quite a lot of communists, they blow the dump. So you see, all movement between transit camp and the port was closed. So I was left just only in my coat, nothing else. And you couldn't move from the port, from the dock, just sleep on the street. And then they brought us Saturday morning. They brought us from Alexandria into transit camp, which was Ikingi Mariut. And Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, off you go again. But Greeks, you see, we had nothing to do with them. But as I said, they were on this side and they refused. But later on, the same brigade was engaged at Rimini, and if you pass any time, not the motorway, but the road leading just on the Adriatic coast, number 16, you will see the cemetery down there, Greek cemetery.
So that mutiny of the Greeks was obviously connected with the struggle for power in Greece.
No, I don't know what was actually, you see, because I don't know whether right or not. But you see, they were disarmed. They were pushed into a prisoner's camp together with Germans. So whether it was right or not, but I think it did them good because later on they were in Italy again.
So that was Easter 1944?
1944. See, I couldn't specify date, I don't remember, but...
What did you personally feel like once the war ended?
That's very important, you see. That was dissolution. And, really, if I may say honestly, I felt that we had been done.
Because of Yalta. So now, what did you personally decide to do?
No, you see, there was no other way. We have to stay down here. And look, we have been disarmed and disbanded. The only thing you could do, you could work and try to help to restore, I mean, the principle you actually went into war for. Because otherwise, you see, 1939, if just what Hitler wanted, to you know, to get over the Poland and get his Lebensraum into Russia, we could achieve that without any fight. But we didn't. Now, we have been fighting. We suffer over 5 million losses. And then on the end, they told us that Big Brother, Soviet Russia, will rule now. So what's the point of going into war? What's all that suffering for? You know, people down here, they didn't realize what was going. But that's actually what you feel.
So there was no question of you going back to Poland?
No. I couldn't. You see, I knew that Poland isn't free. You see, because once... It was a miracle now in 1991 that communist collapse. That was a miracle. Because, you see, if a Russian, I don't say communist, but when a Russian steps once, you can't get rid of them. You see, they won't back. And that is a miracle. I don't know how it happened. You know, we more or less say that the Gorbachev and this and that. No, it is a miracle because wherever Russian put his foot, he doesn't go back.
But in 45, you were then faced with a problem of finding a new country then?
No, I had no problem because, you see, after all, I was on this side. I could go... anywhere else. I could go to the United States, to Australia, I could go. But in my view, it was too far because I was always prepared that I will return. And really, I didn't expect that it will take so long. I was believing, that was my belief, that they're Russian, they will create some problem, and it will come to conflict between West and Russia and Soviet Russia. That was my strong belief. But anyway, it came without conflict, so better for everybody.